You're listening to Profiled, a podcast by NCCM, the National Council of Canadian Muslims, where we profile leaders of our community who inspire us every single day. My name is Omar Kamisa, and each week we'll be sitting with these amazing individuals to talk about their lives, the lessons they've learned, and their experiences being profiled. Assalamu alaikum, hello, and peace be upon you. Welcome to our first podcast. I'm your host, Omar Kamisa, the Community Engagement Officer here with NCCM. And I'm joined by my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the CEO of NCCM here, Mustafa Farouk.
Assalamu alaikum, peace, and everybody who's listening.
Alaikum salam. Mustafa,
and thanks for the introduction. That's way too kind.
No, bro. Like, I'm telling you, I think for anyone that's watching us here on YouTube, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to say that we're the same person.
Yeah, that's true, right? A lot of people think that we are look identical.
Yeah. So
so people should let us know whether they think, for those who are watching, whether we do in fact look identical.
That was the whole plan when we did this, so they don't know who's who. So if anyone's watching, we can just switch our voices around next episode and they won't know the difference.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But alhamdulillah, I'm honestly, I was telling you, I'm so excited to start this podcast. Even when I came on board, I feel like it's one of the avenues that we as an organization was missing, just having the audio impact, because people listen to podcasts everywhere now, man, working out, driving, and it's a media that's so...
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that every day when I go driving, I'm listening to a podcast of some sort. Maybe that says more about me than it does about, the average citizen. But what I'd say is that, in general... the work that NCCM is doing, I think, has obvious impact
for
sure. Both Canadian Muslims, but also for Canadians in general, even those who are not part of the Canadian Muslim community or identify with any faith community. I think the work that we do to stand up for civil liberties, to stand up for a better constitutional future, I think those are all things that are incredibly important for our communities in general to be thinking about and listening to, which involves sort of engaging in these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of our biggest things, is just making sure that battle continues. So for those that don't know, again, Mustafa is the CEO of NCCM. And for anyone that's not familiar with NCCM, it's the National Council of Canadian Muslims. And we'll let here the CEO give a little brief rundown of what actually NCCM does on a daily day-to-day basis.
Sure. So the National Council of Canadian Muslims, or NCCM, let me give you the Coles Notes.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you the full mission statement. The Coles Notes is that NCCM exists to fight Islamophobia in Canada.
Okay.
That's what we do, day in and day out. We do it through a variety of means. Sometimes it's through advocacy at Parliament Hill. Sometimes it's through civic engagement, walking into mosques, into churches, into synagogues, getting people engaged in the message, walking into the mall, talking to folks. Sometimes it means going to court. And there's, so many different methods that we use. The point is, we want to fight for a better future for our kids, for our grandkids, and for those who come after them. And the real person that I'm honored to be here with is this guy who's with me, Omar Kamisa, our community engagement officer.
No, man, it's my pleasure to be a part of NCCM. Like I mentioned, I haven't been a part of it for long, but I feel like it's my family. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about it as we go along with these podcasts. I feel like NCCM is it's such a organization that helps people out. And one of the reasons we wanted to start this podcast was because of that. We see on a day-to-day basis people that have been subject to the vicious, the most hate, whether it's by religion, whether it's by creed, whether it's by sex, orientation, anything like that, where they're actually made to feel like a second-class citizenship.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's really why we wanted this podcast, where we can have these stories that have people that... One of my biggest things is I think everyone has a story. And everyone has a beautiful story.
100%.
Right? And a lot of them, they just don't know. It will touch, inspire, affect everybody.
Mm.
Right? And in our community, we have so many of these people that have dealt with oppression or seen oppression firsthand. And I think it's our job just to be the storytellers of...
100%. I think, for folks, we just need, to hear those stories, because it helps us understand the problem and the scale, and also what we can do to make it better.
I agree. And so for anyone listening to this, this is going to be a pretty consistent podcast. It's going to be me and Mustafa that are going to be recording it on a...
But it's not just going to be always two dudes.
No,
right?
It can't just be us, man. We're just going to start talking about basketball or something. We got to change the whole concept then. Inshallah, we'll have a few guest stars from the NCCM team when Mustafa, who might be the busiest guy in the world, is unavailable. We'll get a few guest stars from the NCCM team. And then what we're going to do is we'll have a consistent flow of guests. guests from the community, activists, people that are out there in the real world that have to actually deal with this or actually have to see it on a consistent basis. And that's really how we want to make sure that this podcast is where we show people that have been misrepresented, where we profile people that are in any kind of oppression, right? That and really inshallah. We get their name out there as well.
Inshallah, yeah, absolutely.
Inshallah, inshallah. So you know what? Let we can just jump right into this, man. And before we even just go into, I know you're from Ottawa here. How was your journey down to Toronto?
You know, it's the same as whenever you get on the 401, it's always just such an adventure every time.
You have to sit there in traffic for a good.
Got
to
sit there and just enjoy the drive.
Yeah,
enjoy the drive.
How long are you in town for?
I came on Friday, so the reason I came primarily was because the Islamic Society of Markham.
Okay.
The mosque there was recently vandalized.
Oh, yes.
By a number of young individuals who came to the mosque. They broke the windows and actually, urinated. And this sort of correlates with the attacks that have been seen on some of our religious institutions. On January 29, 2017, we had the largest attack on a religious institution in Canadian history, where six people passed away. And in fact, if you read Justice Hewat's sentencing decision, which is now on appeal, and that's a whole separate subject of discussion, but when you read about how Alexander Bissonnette opened fire into the Quebec City Mosque, and I'm sorry for anyone, probably should have started with a trigger warning at some point here, but when we read about how he fired into the Quebec City Mosque, and there was a little child, like a six-year-old girl who was walking in the mosque, who was rescued by one of the congregants. These attacks continue to happen. It was only a few months ago that the Owen Sound Mosque happened. The Owen Sound Mosque vandalism incidents occurred, yeah, where somebody went and vandalized the mosque and then attacked a Muslim-owned business. Here in Markham, it correlates with the pattern. As a lawyer, I'm going to drop some stats here.
Yeah, anyone that doesn't know, most of us are lawyer, and I'm more like the regular human being here. So he's going to say words that none of us understand.
But this year there was a 42% increase in attacks on religious institutions, included like synagogues and temples and things like that. And it points to a very alarming trend. Imagine if we had a 42% increase in robberies, yeah, or a 42% increase in fraud, mail fraud. We'd probably be thinking about what to do about it. And unfortunately, we haven't yet got there in terms of what to do to counter this challenge that we're seeing in front of us.
Okay.
But in this context of the Islamic Society of Markham, one of the things that was so remarkable was what the ISM, the Islamic Society of Markham, how they decided to respond.
What'd they do?
So instead of thinking about responding with anger or with fear, the ISM did something revolutionary. They decided to reach out and say, yes, our windows may have been broken, but we're putting the pieces back together with the community. So they invited folks from the local school. They invited faith leaders. They invited local officials, politicians, police officers to say, yeah, we had four young men do something really, really horrific on our site. But the question is, what led these four young men down this path? And how do we set things up so that rather than thinking about these four young men spending time behind bars, how do we think about rebuilding these four young men with their four families into a better future?
Okay. That doesn't seem like something most Muslims would ever do, or like most.
I don't think it's something most people would do. Like, yeah, imagine if somebody broke into your house and smashed the glass and then urinated on the property. Like, most people would be like, "Yo, that's I have a slight problem.
I have a slight problem with that.
Yeah. Your first thought would probably not be like, "Let me think about how to rehabilitate.
Let's rehabilitate
these individuals." And it's one of the things. So, like, when I was at Berkeley writing my thesis, I wrote my thesis on criminal sentencing principles, compared to the Islamic corpus and Islamic tradition. And one of the things that I found hardest to understand, because we share similar principles from a criminal sentencing perspective, principles like denunciation, principles like proportionality. But one of the principles that I found hardest to understand was the principle of forgiveness, afw.
Yeah.
How do we think about afw and forgiveness as an aspirational principle? And I think organizations like the ISM, they show us how it's done.
Yeah.
They show us how thinking about rehabilitation, reintegration, restorative justice can work in a very palpable way, not just something theoretical that folks who are sitting at UC Berkeley Law School are thinking
about.
Yeah,
it's not something that most people will ever like even consider, to be honest with you.
No. Yeah. And that's why that example, that's the kind of thing that wakes me up in the morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though bad things happen, looking at the way that Canadians and Canadian Muslims respond to things, you know, it's both sad and tragic on the other hand. And on the other hand, it's inspiring.
That's amazing. Now, you mentioned that you were at Berkeley, and that was kind of where I was going to go next with my question here. So, like, you have your master's in law from Berkeley. You could go into any law firm you want, walk into
that's,
any
that's
corporate.
Not ac- that's not, that's an exaggeration and totally inaccurate.
If I walk
inaccurate.
Into a law firm, I get kicked out because they think I'm a client, but and I can't afford their fees. But you could walk into
true.
Any kind of law
that's
firm and get
true.
A job. Like, why?
That is inaccurate.
Why'd you come to NCCM?
Look, I came to NCCM because I think that the work we do is really important.
Okay.
I think that the work that's happening here at the National Council of Canadian Muslims is critically important, not just for the Canadian Muslim community, but it's important for all of our communities. Like, let me give you a really palpable example. Right now, we're taking on Bill 21 in the courts. Bill 21 is a piece of legislation in Quebec that says that if you wear, and it's hard for me like to fully wrap my head around the fact that this bill has become law, an act respecting the laïcité of the state, and that it actually exists in Canada in 2020. But what it says is that if you wear, you know, religious symbols, if you wear like a hijab, if you wear a turban, if you wear a kippah, you can't become a teacher, you can't become a prosecutor, you can't become a police officer in certain public sector positions. So this doesn't just affect the Canadian Muslim community. This affects all folks who believe, who have different faith communities. Like, I mean, the fact that a Jewish man wearing a kippah can't become a teacher in 2020 in Canada should be something that's raising massive alarm bells, not just for Canadians or not just for Canadian Muslims, but for, you know, citizens around the world who believe in freedom. And in fact, that's why, you know, just 2 days ago, which is what day was it? March 7th. There was a piece in the New York Times chronicling and looking at some of the women who are dramatically affected by Bill 21. And that's the kind of atrocious attacks on our constitutional freedoms, which I think is so critical to be part of that battle.
Yeah.
And I mean, like on the wall, we've got folks, you know, that we think of as aspirational. Folks like Edward Said, folks like Martin Luther King, folks like Brother Malcolm Shabazz. And it's their example that we try to live towards and try to think about. And it's why I'm part of this organization. I know it's part of like why you're people like you.
It definitely is.
You know, like you were an incredible sales person. You know, you were making a lot of money. And you came to NCCM because you thought it was important to do, not because you didn't have a thriving career.
Yeah, no, like we're definitely get into Bill 21 later in this episode, but just choosing NCCM was like, we'll get into through my journey of why I came to NCCM and like changing my kind of life around from having like in the corporate world. And I'm sure everyone has that feeling sometimes when they know people that are stuck in that corporate cycle of, you know, sleep, home, work.
The grind.
Yeah, every single day is the exact same thing. And you just kind of get put into that kind of like political pull. But like the work that NCCM does and the reason that I came was it's not just like Bill 21. Like Bill 21 is fantastic, but it's the on the ground work as well.
Mm.
Right? Like the single mom that needs help because she's in a parking lot and she gets her hijab, like she gets yelled to go back to her country.
Mm.
Right? Or the sister that, you know, just, you know, gets her hijab trying to pull off or spat at, right? Because for me, it's like, you know, I count myself lucky that the only hijab I wear is a beard kind of thing, you know, and I'm not wearing a thobe, but walking around like the hardest thing is my name. Right?
Correct me if your wife wears hijab.
My wife wears hijab. Yeah. And like, for me, I count my, like, you know, that I give all the credit to the Muslim women that actually have to go through that. Wear their Islam, right? Like we don't wear our Islam anywhere.
And let's be clear. Also like our Sikh brothers and sisters, like,
oh, for sure.
Man, they take the brunt of Islamophobia.
Man, some of the work that they do and just, you know, they're actually like just standing up against Islamophobia, and they're more patient than I am, to be honest with you, man. They're better at it than I am.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
For sure. So, we'll get to Bill 21, but like you've been here now for almost a year on
NCCM. Yeah, just about, yeah.
How'd you like it?
Better
than you expected, worse than you expected?
It's pretty complicated. It's complicated because like, you know, on the one hand, what we wake up and deal with every single day is really tough, and it's brutal. And sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel seems pretty far away. But I always think about what Dr. King said, that the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yes.
And I think that that's sort of what wakes me up every day. The knowledge that Nasr min Allah wa fathun qarib, that the help of God and the victory is near. That if we stand up every day, even if we don't see success in our lifetimes, but if we stand up every day, if we stand against Islamophobia, if we stand for a better Canada, we may not see, you know, if we stand for our Indigenous brothers and sisters, we may not see that system of justice that we believe in today or tomorrow, but it will come as long as we do the fight, as long as we stand for our principles.
You know, I remember when you were interviewing me for the job, the one question I asked you was like, what are we going to do every day? Like, does Islamophobia even happen here in Canada? And like what kind of work do we actually do? And it almost amazes me like how, and I remember I was doing a workshop for ASEA one time. Mm. Anyone that's wondering, ASEA is our education and outreach coordinator.
And,
she's
going to be on the show soon, right?
She's going to be on the show for sure.
Yeah.
I've already booked her for sure to be on the show.
Perfect.
She does our workshops, which are fantastic. And I was doing one for her, and one of the stats she said is how like almost 66% of hate crimes don't go unreported. Mm. Right? And I feel like that's one of the biggest things that NCCM actually helps with, is just showing people that there's a place to actually report it. Right, instead of just like kind of throwing it under the rug and saying it's okay, it doesn't happen, and it might be one of the reasons why we are able to actually finally be able to make a difference, that people are starting to report stuff and we actually see it happening more and more often, kind of thing.
Well, I mean, one of the things like is that Canadians, we have this mythology that we don't have racism in our country,
yes,
that we don't have anti-Semitism 100%. In our country, that we don't have Islamophobia in our country. It is a mythology that is pervasive because it makes us feel more comfortable, even though we know that, you know, anti-Indigenous racism, you know, it provides a bedrock principle in our history. And that doesn't mean that there weren't many great things that many Canadians did, but we cannot ignore the genocide of the Indigenous people.
Yes.
You know, that's what the Truth and Reconciliation Commission set out to do. Equally, we cannot ignore the fact that Islamophobia is not only a massive impact, it not only has a massive impact on the lives of many Canadian Muslims, many of whom don't want to talk about it because, again, it doesn't play well within our grand mythology. Yeah. We don't like to talk about the fact that someone spat at us while we were walking off bus. And, you know, we don't want to talk about the fact that, you know, someone yelled an Islamophobic slur.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about these things. But the reality is that, you know, it was just a few years ago that we had the largest attack on a religious institution where literally people died in Canada over Islamophobia. And 1 year later, the premier said Islamophobia, you know, the premier of Quebec said Islamophobia doesn't exist in Quebec, and then went on to pass legislation that has dramatic impacts on the lives of Canadian Muslim women. Yeah. And again, it goes beyond Bill 21.
It goes beyond everything.
We have, you know, white nationalist organizations like the Base, like the Three Percenters, who actively train, with the ideology of an apocalyptic showdown with the Canadian Muslim community. These are realities that we are living with, that we're seeing. You know, you have folks like the Soldiers of Odin showing up at mosques, trying to intimidate people. We had, the year before this, a 151% increase in attacks against the Canadian Muslim community through independently documented data of Stats Canada, and that ignores all of those hate incidents that go unreported. There's a lot of challenges that are in front of us.
So, like, in terms of the entire Canadian landscape, like, where do you picture like NCCM really fitting in terms of across Canada, whether it's creed, nationality, religion? Like, you feel like NCCM will support anybody?
We're there to support everybody. We're there to support, I'm sure you can speak to it. Like, we're born and raised here.
Yeah.
Like, I would say growing up in Edmonton, Alberta, like, all of my friends were of so many different races, backgrounds, creeds, colors, you know?
Yeah.
We're here for everybody that's the reality of our experience.
Yeah.
You know, we're born here, we're raised here, probably we'll die here, you know, Allah Alam, God knows best. And so we're here to make this country better.
Yeah.
That's the job of an organization like NCCM.
No, I agree. And like I said, like, that's why I picked NCCM too. The same exact reason as you. And I feel like that's kind of like where the next step takes us.
Mm.
Right. So, like, jumping into Bill 21, like, a lot of the listeners always, and a lot of people I meet they understand that Bill 21 is happening. They hear the name Bill 21, but they don't really get a good like grasp of what actually Bill 21 is.
Right.
Right. So, can you explain Bill 21 for anyone that is just kind of new to listening to it, or really aren't really familiar with the terminology of what actually like the legal terminology of Bill 21? Yeah, sure.
So just to recap it again. So Bill 21, or it's just shorthand called Bill 21, but it's been passed into legislation now, or an act respecting the UCTA of the state. Is a piece of legislation that was passed ostensibly for the purpose of maintaining religious neutrality. But in our estimation, in our submission, doesn't do that. And it's not designed to do that. In fact, what Bill 21 does is create second-class citizenship, where, if you wear a piece of religious clothing, like a hijab, like a kippah, like a turban, you can't become, let's say, a teacher, you can't become a police officer, you can't become a prosecutor. What this really does is not, and just to be clear, you might be thinking, okay, well, how can that piece of legislation survive in Canada? We have the charter. One of the things that the Quebec government has done in order to try to insulate itself, and we think, that's part of what goes to the essence of our Supreme Court of Canada challenge, where we're seeking leave to appeal, they've invoked what's called the notwithstanding clause. For those who don't know what the notwithstanding clause is.
Yeah, you have to explain the notwithstanding clause.
Yeah, I know,
for sure,
right? So this is going to sound like a grade three social studies lesson?
Yeah, for sure.
So like if don't get too bored, because this is not going to take too long. Just really quickly, the notwithstanding clause, or section 33 of the charter, is a sort of quasi-emergency powers that can allow provinces to override certain charter rights. And the scope of which we are currently contesting in our Bill 21 arguments, and the precise nature and its employment in the context of a state hearing, more precisely, is what we're contesting. So, that's sort of the bedrock. And NCCM and the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, we're currently seeking leave to appeal at the Supreme Court of Canada from a 2-1 decision of the Quebec Court of Appeal. Where we were seeking a stay of Bill 21, and we're going to see how that goes.
Okay.
Well, obviously, this is an important fight for us.
So this is like a law here in Canada. So didn't we have a situation like this before with like Bill 62?
So we did. So Bill 62 was a piece of legislation in Quebec that said that if women wore a niqab or a face covering, they couldn't access certain public services. So, I mean, some people, you might say like, okay, I don't like people who wear the niqab. I don't like the fact that people wear the niqab. And that's fine. That's an opinion that I think you can have and you can express and we can have a dialogue about. I know many members of the Canadian Muslim community have questions about women who wear the niqab and whether women should wear the niqab. Those are important discussions for us to have. But the reality is that when you set up a system where a woman who wears a niqab can't even maybe ride the bus or have a library card, you're setting up a system where you are creating ghettoization. You're not allowing for conversation. You're pushing people outside of the ability to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. When you can't have a library card, when you can't ride the bus, how are you going to have a conversation with people? How are you going to change your mind?
Yeah.
If that was indeed a normative thing you should change.
Yeah.
The reality is that for us to be able to disagree and to talk about religious freedom and what that means, we have to have a public space, mm-hmm. As sort of, Jürgen Habermas would argue. And that's precisely why we at NCCM and the CCLA at that time went to court on Bill 62, and we did have that law stayed successfully.
Okay, so like there is that precedent that we can fight and we can overturn.
Yeah, NCCM has a history of going to court successfully, including, as an intervener at the Supreme Court of Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we take very seriously.
Okay.
And I'm sure that we're going to be having our director of legal affairs.
Yeah, we'll have Samia on for sure.
Chat more about some of the lawsuits. And things like that.
Yeah, for sure. It's like that's she's the one it goes through. So we
again, the lawsuits and stuff. It's one small part of what we do at NCCM. Yes. There's so much more, as Omar, as you were talking about.
Yeah. So speaking, there's a little bit more on Bill 21. Like you said that it's going to the Supreme Court. Is it kind of out of our hands now? Like we have to wait for the Supreme Court appeal. How does that work?
So, without getting too technical, there's two things that are. So one is the attempt to have the bill stayed, mm-hmm. which means that we're going to try to have it, in very layman's terms, stopped in terms of its temporary application. But we are going on the merits, i.e. a substantive discussion mm-hmm. of Bill 21 in its entirety in October of this year, regardless. Okay. So the fight continues. The fight is going to continue to be ongoing.
Yeah.
And it's something that we at NCCM are taking very, very seriously. We're in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And we're in it not just in terms of the court battle, but we're in it to have the discussions with folks on the ground. You know, we have currently staff in Quebec. We have our Quebec office who every day go and chat with Quebecers to talk to them about this bill and join a growing coalition of both Quebecois Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Catholics, and those who don't have any faith community mm-hmm. To stand against Bill 21.
Okay. And so like our listeners and the followers of NCCM that have been following forever, like how can they help out? Like I know it's something that's like, even like just kind of sitting on the sidelines, you feel like you're just kind of observing and you really can't have that much effect on what NCCM does or any of the legal battles because none of us are as smart as a lawyer. We can't do that work of a lawyer. But what can we do on the ground to actually help out?
So there's a lot of things. Like I think the first thing is to really realize what things like Bill 21, what kind of real life impact they have. That means that like, you know, for people like our plaintiff, for people like Amrit Kaur. Amrit Kaur was a Sikh woman who basically grew up in Quebec because of Bill 21, and she grew up training to be a teacher. Her lifelong aspiration was to be a teacher. Because of Bill 21, she had to choose my faith. Do I continue to wear a turban or do I want to be a teacher? She chose to be true to herself. That means that she had to leave the province. You know, she had to make a hijra. She had to make like a kind of pilgrimage to migrate away from Quebec in order for her to maintain her religious identity. And now she's in British Columbia as a teacher. That we cannot allow that. We cannot allow that to be the case in Canada, mm-hmm. that where just because of who you are, you can't be part of, you know, like your society, where you grew up, where you live, where you want to work. That's reprehensible to the point that like, it makes me furious. It makes me mad. It makes me unhappy. It makes me deeply sad. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that every single person in Canada can be doing something about it.
Like what?
So the first thing that you can do is educate yourself more. Mm-hmm. Go online, you know, type in Bill 21, type in National Council of Canadian Muslims and Bill 21. Learn about what's going on. Educate yourself because education is the best tool. You know, you can always listen to podcasts and hear people talk, but I really think that the more research, the more education you do, the more you'll learn. You'll be able to see the arguments for and against, and I think you'll be able to see that the argument against is a lot stronger than the argument for.
Mm-hmm.
So educate yourself is the first thing. The second thing is get involved in talking to your local politicians. NCCM is currently circulating a petition to stand against Bill 21. You can go and visit our website, www.nccm.ca. Fill in the petition. Recently, a paper version of that petition was submitted at the House of Commons by Conservative MP Garnett Jennis, and we thank him for doing that. You know, these are the kinds of things, because we want the House of Commons now to condemn Bill 21, to continue to raise the pressure to say every single Canadian, and let's be clear, lots of other provinces working with NCCM and other organizations have condemned Bill 21.
Yeah, I've seen there's been a bunch of different towns and different city councils that have actually absolutely come out against it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, we're joining with our Quebec brothers and sisters in solidarity to say in Canada, we cannot allow this.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot allow this piece of legislation. In Quebec, this piece of legislation is reprehensible. And then of course, you can donate. You know, these kinds of legal battles, they ain't cheap.
Yeah.
So going on to www.nccm.ca, helping us out, figuring out ways that you can join in. I think there's a GoFundMe as well.
Mm-hmm.
Find out how you can be part of the solution by just continuing to learn, to advocate, to talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, do the research, and support us. Even $5, $10 a month, that stuff is all super duper helpful for us.
Oh, that's awesome. That does bring us to the end of the first episode. Musa, do you want to finish us off with anything?
No, thank you all for listening.
No, and thank you guys.
Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Inshallah. Thank you guys so much for your guys' time. You know, we'll talk to you guys next week. Masalam. You've been listening to Profiled, an NCCM podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. On Facebook and Twitter, it's at NCCM. And for Instagram, it's at NCCM_community. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back next week.